Welcome to episode 14 of the Rebel Army Podcast. This week, we're joined by Barry Coffey. We're back for another podcast, and I'm not on my own this week.
I'm back.
You're back. Viva Las Vegas.
Back in one piece.
How was Vegas?
It was good.
Did you lose all your money?
I lost all my money. I lost my bag on the way back as well. That still hasn't shown up. Sorry. Well, the airline lost that. But
Christ.
Yeah, that'll be here.
Serious?
Soon. But, yeah, but sure, look, back in one piece. Made it to Bishopstown this morning. Made it to here today. So,
did I see that you were watching the match up in the skies and all?
Yeah, playing Wi-Fi. It's great.
No problem.
I never get this on Ryanair. Like, this is, we were going over. There's the option to buy it. Now, our game was finished. We kicked off against Wexford at 5. And I think the flight was taken off at 5:15, but the Wi-Fi isn't available for like the first hour.
Oh, yeah, while you're taking off.
Yeah, yeah, so I got it. I watched Shells against Derry. So it's mad.
It's crazy,
isn't it? The future is here. It's it's ridiculous.
We'd be getting plugs with Aer Lingus and Virgin and all these guys here. Like, watch League of Ireland football as you go across the transatlantic.
Get League of Ireland advertising boards up on the luggage. The luggage doors.
New fans.
Yeah, yeah.
But, it was a good week while you were away.
I know. I think I'm going to have to go away a bit more often, am I? Things seem to be going well when I'm not here.
So there was a lot happened while you were away. It was a good week. It started a bit... it started well. We got an early goal. Actually, our guest this week scored an early goal.
He did.
But unfortunately, it was 1-1 against Wexford.
Yeah, it was. But we're still unbeaten at home.
Still
unbeaten in the league, which is great. Would have been ideal to win the game. But look, a 1-1 draw... Wexford are a good side as well. Look, we drew to them away to Wexford as well.
It was like deja vu, to be honest. The same kind of thing is happening again.
An early goal and a 1-1 draw, yeah.
And then, of course, Friday night, the
El Classic Cork.
Yeah, you were away for that.
I watched that one. I got to watch that. I live tweeted that from a bit of a distance from Cove. But no, it was a good game. 3 good goals as well.
Played well. That's 2 games against Cove. They played very well, actually.
2-3-0 wins over Cove,
complete opposite weather, no, to be fair. You went from nearly a swimming pool scenario to...
It was a lovely one down in Cove, wasn't it?
Yeah. But the weekend was lovely, anyway.
But, like, the goals we spoke about, Sean Murray's opening goal.
Great
strike. Barry's chest and volley. Oh, incredible.
Lovely.
And Barry's second one then was also a good finish from close range, but looks still a very good finish. His goal on Monday was actually a very good finish as well.
It was, yeah.
Really good work from Jaden to get it to him, but a cracking finish from him as well. He's had a great week.
We're delighted to have him on. We'll have him on in a minute. But it wasn't just a great week for him and the first team. The women's team had a great week as well.
Brilliant. Yeah, against Shamrock Rovers. Beating any Dublin side is always a great thing. But Shamrock Rovers, the reputation they have over the last year of joining the league and coming in to change the game and all that talk. So beating them at the cross is brilliant, especially in the manner that we did. We went ahead. They equalised. We went ahead again. Great goal from Colleen as well to win it.
That actually was a good goal and counter attack. The Ireland,
and even Doro's header in the first half. Great goal.
That actually was brilliant header. Yeah.
Yeah. So brilliant to beat them.
And good, especially after the week before, you know, losing to three.
Disappointment on TV and all that. Yeah. But
great way to bounce back.
You look for, exactly. If you were looking for the ideal way to bounce back, that's absolutely it. Great win, a professional win, I think. Funnily enough, I was watching it on LOI TV in Heathrow. I just landed in London. Got on the plane with 65 minutes gone. We were 2-1 up. And then I turned the phone off and I had this agonising flight from London to Cork waiting to figure out.
There was no Wi-Fi on that plane.
No Wi-Fi on Aer Lingus yet. But landed in Cork. First notification I got was FAI Connect full time 2-1 Cork City. I nearly roared the plane down. It was absolutely brilliant. Delighted for them, for all the girls and for Danny and James and the whole staff. Danny was disappointed after the treaty game. And as you said a while ago, this was the perfect way to bounce back. And yeah, always nice to beat a Shamrock Rovers team, no matter what the level or which team it is.
How did the underage teams get on over the weekend?
So the men's under-20s lost 2-0 away to Waterford on Saturday. The women's 17s lost 1-0 away to Wexford. The 15s won 4-2 away to Wexford. Killian Murphy got 2, Ben Phillips got 1, and Jamie and Dewuba got 1. A 0-0 draw for women's 19s against CK United. A 1-1 draw for the men's 17s against Wexford. Evan Pilo scored there. And a 1-1 draw as well for the men's under-14s against Waterford. Ollie Lynch with that one.
Good all round. So not a bad week for the club.
Yeah,
anything else happening outside of the football? Anything happened while you were away? The club didn't, the socials didn't break down or anything while you were away?
No, we're still afloat. And I'm back now, so no doubt we'll have a busy week. It's Monday as we're recording this, so just jumping back in now. So we'll have we might have stuff coming up during the week. I honestly don't know yet. I haven't been able to do much.
You're only back into normality, and it's and jet lag is probably still affecting you
I
as well.
I think I'm running on fumes at this point, yeah, but look, we're here.
I presume you didn't see a football match right now over there.
No, there was nothing on. I checked it. We were in LA on, what day was that, the Wednesday? No game on there either, so It wasn't for lack of trying. I was looking for a game anywhere I could, but no, there was nothing on. Got to watch Cork City over there though, which was, that's enough for me.
Yeah. So, we have a really interesting guest this week. We have the man of the moment, I suppose. Three goals in the space of, what was it, 4 or 5 days?
Yeah, and he's been, you know what, he came in, he's only been here, what is it, two and a half years?
Mm.
He's been here for the highs and the lows.
Mm.
Hopefully more highs to come this year. So a really good guest, hopefully, and a really good time to get him in, as you said, after a busy week. Three goals, as we mentioned a while ago, three well-taken goals, especially that volley down in Cove. But yeah, he'll be a good guy to chat to. He's some good stories from the time he's been here already.
Let's bring him in. Welcome to the podcast, Barry.
Thanks very much. Glad to be here.
Hot after a busy week for you. Three goals in the space of a few days.
Yeah, great week. One of the better weeks for sure. Three tough games, and yeah, no, delighted to kind of, you know, good win on last Friday and this Friday, and I suppose have a good point, not a great point, but a good point on Monday as well. So delighted.
And I suppose that first goal against Cove, that was a nice one to go, wasn't it?
Yeah. No, it's
especially
always
into
nice.
The City fans as well.
Great end to do it. But I suppose just, I'll take them any which way they come, but yeah, that one's a little bit sweet, just the finish, and I suppose, as I said, against Cove and in front of the fans, and that was a nice moment for sure.
Let's go back to your youth football.
Oh, here we are.
Here we are, it's like this is your life. you played with Nina, was it?
Yeah, grew up, played with Nina FC, yeah, that's where it all began.
And like, are you playing in the schoolboys league in Tipperary then? Like, or what way does it work? Is the North Tipperary, South Tipperary?
Yeah, so I don't know how it is now, but I can only go when I was there. It was so North Tip and South Tip. You'd have, when I was there, it was obviously under 14 was Kendi Cup here. So you'd have Galway Cup, it was under 13, I think. And then there was maybe under 12. So you'd get into like that futsal kind of under 10s, I think it started.
Yes.
So obviously the best kind of crop from your own age group, there could be 50 lads, like, you know, would be in that futsal. And then from there on, it was kind of, you'd play with your club, Nina, on the weekends, and every few weeks then you'd have a session with North Tip or even a tournament or something. And yeah, they'd kind of bring lads in and cut lads, and, you know, all the way up until Kendi Cup. But yeah, then it got a bit difficult then, because Nina were obviously quite good, let's say, for the North Tip League, and they ended up moving into the Limerick Premier Division. Yeah. So after kind of, when I was 15, 16, I was actually ended up playing, before, let's say, I left to go across to Scotland, I was actually playing in the Limerick Premier Division. Nina is still in the Premier Division now in Limerick.
Crazy, yeah, like a Tipperary team playing in Limerick.
Makes it a bit more abuse comes your way when you go into some of them places. It's not easy, but do you know, it was really good for the first years. Like, you know, I've got Pike and Fairview and them. There's some actually really good teams, and it was really competitive. And when I was there, I was obviously quite young, still playing for let's say Nina's first team back then. But it was really enjoyable. We had a really good team in that. But I think the last few years, Nina kind of probably slacked off a small bit in terms of, I think they're just finding it difficult to keep numbers at kind of senior level. Now that's probably down to Nina's, it's not well known for its soccer, it's more so hurling back there,
I suppose. Like, so and there would also be an element now with the introduction of the kind of youth leagues for the League of Ireland, like, you know, under 14s, all that, like, that they're probably getting taken,
killing Nina, players
are probably being taken, are they?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's the big change from when I was there, and it's hard in Nina when you're 14 and someone says you've got to pick, let's say, between soccer and hurling, it's really kind of a one-way show in terms of hurling. Yeah, it's difficult. I see the benefits from the football side of it, and I'd be kind of obviously urging the young lads, go full-time football if you can. But look, I know myself, I was in that position, and it's easy to say it now with hindsight, but like, it's very difficult to...
So did you play hurling, you did?
Yeah. So I played hurling all my life, literally from I'd say 1 year of age. I actually played all the way up until, played until I was like 15, Colin O'Brien, where Ireland was, I was, when I was under 15 with Ireland, Colin was my manager, obviously, Cork man. He didn't, look, I knew myself it was coming, but it was, he knew it was difficult for me in terms of just my best friends, my family, friends, brother, like we, it was so big. And I remember still kind of playing with Ireland and on the slide trying to win a North Championship or win a county championship in Nene, and it was a tough position to be in. And yeah, it was funny. Like I gave up football when I was 11, 12. Like when I played, I was under, let's say, when I was 10, 11, I was pretty decent at it. And James Scott was the, was like the main man with the North Tip like sector. And I just didn't, I just wanted to play hurling. Like, yeah, it was just funny. And then I quit for probably 6 months to it.
That's a long time to quit at that stage.
Definitely. And he was like, to be fair to Scotty, he kind of, he was on to me and my dad, like, and he was like, you can't quit, like, you know. And for then I went back, I went to Kendi Cup then, let's say, obviously North Tip's not the biggest place. So I went to Kendi Cup a year young as well. So I played 2 years Kendi Cup, but that would be kind of somewhat common in Tip anyway. Especially North Tip. And once I kind of went to Kendi Cup the first year, that's when the penny kind of dropped that, you know, this there could be something here for me. But yeah, I was mad to play hurling. I still love it. It's still my best, two or three of my best mates hurling for Tip now this weekend against Cork. Like, and I still get a massive, I'll be going to Tarlis to that as well. Like, so it's funny how it works.
Yeah, we're kind of in a unique situation in this country because of that, like, aren't we? Yeah. I mean, you know, in other places, they don't really have that. You have to pick one or the other.
Yeah.
It does. It doesn't tend to happen to the same level. But there's been loads of footballers have had to do it, like, you know, John Egan, Dennis Irwin actually did years ago. Yeah. Like, a lot of them had to give up the other side. I know Dave Barry would have played both courts for, you know, Cork City and Cork GA as well. But it is a difficult one. Like,
so difficult, especially like, maybe Cork might be a little bit easier, I say that because you've got Cork City, it's so big, and you can kind of see maybe a lot of Irish internationals coming from here now. But being from Nene, like, you go to school and Hearty Cup, Nene actually won the Hearty Cup this year, and like, I'm talking, it's
everything,
everything, like, hurley in the hand all the way through school. And don't get me wrong, it's funny because football is really big. When I say football, I'm saying soccer, not Gaelic. Like, so like, soccer's really big, and there's some of my mates and lads are really talented soccer players, like, but like, there was just no way that they were ever going to put down the hurley. Like, it's in your blood. You want to hurl for Nene, you want to win for Nene, and then you want to go play for Tip. That's kind of, let's say, the dream for probably 95-98% of young fellas from Nene, like, is to do that. So yeah, it's so difficult when you're kind of from a little, I suppose, rural area compared to Cork. It's hard. It's a tough place. And then when you do make the decision, it's, you know, as a 14-year-old, like, your best friends and that aren't, you're not playing with them anymore. It's tough, like, you know.
You're kind of leaving them behind.
Yeah, then. you are, definitely, for sure.
But at that stage, you're playing then for, you know, Colin O'Brien on the 15s. You won a victory shield, did you? Like, that was brilliant. That kind of started it going as well.
Absolutely, yeah. And I say it was very hard, right? But it was, I wanted to do it as well. Do you know what I mean? It might have been difficult for maybe someone else if they were in my position and they maybe really wanted to play Ireland. I obviously really did, but I did have that side, right? Like, as I said, when I kind of went to Kendi Cup, the penny kind of dropped me that I see something maybe brewing here, and not many people have done it where I'm from. So I was like, kind of had that kind of chip on my shoulder to go and give it a lash, you know, that kind of way. And I did, like, it's funny, even though I stopped playing Ireland, I still have massive support from people in Nene. And it was once I kind of, you know, started playing for Ireland, maybe people started to recognise, wow, like, you know, it's not many people have done that from Nene as well.
Yeah, the lad that plays for Ireland, and then everyone talks about you.
From there, and then it was kind of a snowball effect into how kind of positive people were with me, even my school, and if you're going to England and that on trial and stuff, it was really quite a really special place to be supported, and loads of really good people there. So I'm very lucky in a way when a small place supports you as well, which is nice. Like,
so then did you go and play on a kind of a trial basis with Chelsea for a while?
Yeah. So I was I was over and back to a couple of clubs, and then I went to Chelsea after my second year in Kendi Cup, which was probably the year that everything kind of started to fall into place. I had a really good week there, and managed to get a couple of trials, and then I was in with Ireland at the time. The first tournament was up in St. Joy's. What's that called? I can't remember what it's called. But you know, a couple of academy teams come over to it as well.
Oh, yeah.
So that was kind of the first kind of international, let's say, squad, and I was in that and managed to like play a good bit in that. And then I said Chelsea came, and I obviously, when a big fish comes calling like that, so I moved there for a while.
When that happens first, is it an Irish scout or something like that?
Yeah.
Kind of keeps the track and you, is up the Kennedy Cup, watching you playing for the Irish team, and kind of makes an approach to your family, kind of, how does it?
Yeah, pretty much so. That's basically it. He was in like the Chelsea scout, but he was obviously over at Kennedy Cup, spotted me, followed me around for kind of the week, and then he actually never really approached family. It was kind of, let's say, the Monday or Tuesday after Kennedy Cup, then he got in contact with I hadn't signed to an agent at the time, but kind of made contact there and got in contact. Look, if you want to get in contact with someone bad enough, you'll find a way. Like, so then they invited me over to come over and see it. So as I said, I was lucky enough, I'd been over to a couple of clubs previous, and then once I went there, ended up kind of being there for probably a year all in all. I went, did a bit of trial, actually went over and back a couple of times, and then...
Were you still in school at the same time?
Yeah, so I was in my school kind of, like I said, being from Nina, they really supported me. My mom was still quite big on the education, of course, so it was difficult in a way, but I'd go over there and my school would send me over stuff, and I'd still be doing I wouldn't be missing out on much work. That was a big thing, obviously, I said, for my family to keep pushing me that way. But ended up, I went to like Holland with them and went to Germany with them. I was under 15 at the time. And it was, you know, over and back or over there for a couple of weeks at a time, and training in Cobham and that. It was a really, it was like, for a boy from the inner, it was mind blowing in a way.
They have had a lot of international players then, being like one of the top teams, I suppose, like, you know?
Yeah. You hear about Chelsea signing so many young lads, and their kind of scouting network is global. Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, there was some, like, I won't name drop, but the likes of Tyreek Lamptey and Callum Hudson-Odoi, they were all kind of coming through there.
At the same time.
Yeah, they're a year older than me, but we were kind of, that was kind of the lads I was, let's say, training with. Obviously at the time they weren't that big, but I remember thinking like they are frightening players, like, and there was lads from Brazil and Spain and
mad.
Yeah, really, really top. So many.
Very different from Nina, like, they kind of went to that environment.
So different, and even like they were so, like, such a big club, but they really looked after me. I still actually speak quite, not regularly, but still be in contact with, let's say, the Diggs people I lived with there, and they brought my family over and just kind of was in around it. And then from like Celtic kind of came knocking then, and I think, being honest, like, I was after being at Chelsea for kind of in around, let's say, 6-8 months constantly, kind of, it was kind of like, right, are they going to
give you a contract, like,
give me a deal or what? And then Celtic came knocking to ask me to come up there, and then I think Chelsea were I kind of knew that they kind of wanted me to, let's say, stay for another few months, we'll make a decision kind of thing. And I remember just kind of dad and my agent was like, look, we can't keep, look, it's brilliant for you, but like, you can't just, they could let you go in the blink of an eye as well. So I went to Celtic, and genuinely from my first day at Celtic, I was like, yeah, I want to sign here, this is where I want to go. It was just amazing. And I think Chelsea at that time were, obviously we hadn't signed anything or nothing, but they were happy enough to kind of say, right, that's fine, we're not in the position to offer you anything right now. So then I went to Celtic, just before Christmas, and I was only 15 at the time, and it was, I went there, and literally within my first day there, I was like, yeah, this is the club I want to be.
And what was it about them, like, what?
Funny, I remember chatting to, like, even my mum and dad now about it, or whenever I came up a few months ago, and mum remember saying that, like, oh, dad said to her that night, like, after my first night there, he's like, yeah, he's gonna sign here, like. And it's just, I feel the club is so special. It's like cringy to say in a way, like, because you have to use the cliches, but so big and Irish connection, and you just walk in there and it's just like, obviously at the time they were flying as well. Brendan Rodgers was the manager there, and
his first time around.
Yeah, his first time. They were nearly invincible. They were invincibles after that, but they were building up to that. And yeah, I just remember thinking like this club is, this is where it is. Like it's absolutely crazy. Yeah,
and were you a supporter of them growing up?
Yeah, I don't, as the cliche goes, obviously being Irish, a lot of my uncles, two of my uncles are really big Celtic fans. And even Nina have a really big Celtic supporters club. And I think everyone's just a Celtic fan. But so when I went there and you just see the size and the stature of the club, and I suppose how mental Glasgow is with Celtic Rangers. And just straight away, I was just like, wow, this is whatever it is. And I was lucky enough then, they basically offered me a deal right away as well, which was, it was perfect for me at that time, like, and I loved it.
What was it like back home then? Because like, you're this kind of 15-year-old, still in school at the time, obviously, yeah. You probably had to leave then, but like, how did you deal with the kind of the pressure, all the talk about, because there was talk that both the Manchester clubs were kind of looking at you and stuff like yeah. that as well at the time. So, you know, in a small town, that must be...
It was really weird. As I remember, like, chatting to a couple of people about it, who really guided me and kind of helped me through that time. But it's funny, like, looking back at it now, I probably don't even know the answers to how I kind of did it, in a sense, because I just kind of had my head down. I was just so determined to do it. And I think the more I kind of, let's say, did it, and the more kind of times I was playing for Ireland, and then there was talks of going here and there, and I was over and back quite a lot, I think people then start to realise, like, wow, like, this is actually like you're actually going to go sign for a club and yeah. become a professional footballer and like make money and try and make a living from it at this age. Like, you know, people probably, like, you know, I kind of realised that, like, people weren't that educated in it from Nina, because not that they weren't educated, it just wasn't really that big a thing, you know, it hadn't really happened. So I was kind of learning, and people from Nina didn't really understand it either, so they kind of be asking you out of genuinely, because they didn't really know the answer themselves. So it was difficult though, because I was obviously in junior cert then at the time, and I actually was like, I remember we were away with Ireland when my mocks was on, and like the school obviously were quite like not tough on me, but they were trying to look out for me as well with that sense of my, and I said my family were still wanting me to push my exam, so I kind of missed my mocks and had to read, like, sit them, let's say, the week after by myself, and school was brilliant like that. And then even my junior cert, we were at the under 17 euros, I think, and I had to do a paper there, I'm fairly sure. I could,
over there
in St. George's Park, yeah. I definitely did an English exam. I don't know, was it the mocks? It would have been, no, it was the, I think I'm pretty
probably
sure
it would be in the summer, like,
yeah, it would have been the official exam. Yeah, it was in St. George's Park. A couple of us had to do it, like, we're obviously all in separate rooms, and the FAI,
they must have coordinated.
Yeah, like, you were just in a room with, let's say, an inspector kind of thing. But it was in, we did that in St. George's Park in England and stuff like that, which is, I don't know, obviously unique in a way. But yeah, just being from Nina and the snowball effect, and how, as I said, people were trying to learn, and as I was doing it, but it was it was difficult. You'd be away for kind of, let's say, a Friday, you fly on a Friday or Thursday and be back in school on the Monday or Tuesday the following week, and just being class, like, and after being, let's say, over in Scotland or in England or whatever, like, and but funny thing about being from Nina is, like, it wasn't that, you kind of nearly got the piss taken out of you for it in a way, because
yeah, whereas if you were on the minor panel for Tipperary,
nearly bigger, yeah, do you know what I mean? You're getting looked at better,
it's kind of silly in some ways,
I loved it, and that kind of, that's what made it special in a way, I suppose. But yeah, it just is. Yeah, mad how kind of time flies in a way as well.
And that under 17 tournament, that was a strong team. You got to the quarterfinals, and that was the controversial one
with the penalties.
With the penalties,
yeah.
And the keeper got sent off.
Yeah, that team was frightening. In fairness, you look at the amount of players that are playing at 11 now. Yeah. We like won the Victory Shield with Colin. Oh no, sorry, under 15s we were really strong. Then we won the Victory Shield with Paul O'Sam and that. And then Colin jumped from 15s to 17s. And we went like 6 from 6 through the group stage. We were like one of the favourites going to the tournament. And then we had quite a tough group, but like Belgium, I think Poland and that in England at the time. We got beat by Belgium, but we got out of the group second. So we played Netherlands then in the quarterfinal. And
they were the favourites, weren't they?
Yeah. And like they went on to win it. Like, so we drew 1-1, like, let's say in the game, I don't think there was extra time, and we just went straight to penalties. And then, yeah, he sent Jimmy Cork, and obviously he was here, Jimmy, off in the penalty show.
Just because he went off his line, wasn't it? Or yeah, something stupid.
He time waste, and then the extra time just before the end of the game, and then after the game, then, or in the penalty show, then for coming off his line. And then, yeah, but that team, obviously, you've got likes of Adam and Tyreek and that from Cork were on it, but yeah.
Nathan Collins was there as well.
You've got Troy, obviously. As I said, Jason Knight, frightening. Really, really good team, but really enjoyable team as well. And that was brilliant. And then it kind of went on from there. I know a good few of them kind of went first team then, but a lot of us played in the under-19s Euros then.
That's right.
2 years later with Tom Owen, and lost the semi-final to Portugal, and Portugal went on to win the 19s Euros, which is even tougher because only one team gets out of the groups there, so there's only 8 teams actually qualify for the tournament, 2 groups of 4. And yeah, then like you're looking at like the Portuguese lads and French teams, like they've got some ridiculous talents that are global now as well. And we got beat off Portugal in the semi-final, but like and it was out in like Armenia, I think it was Ross and Hoppo. Such the experience was something else, like playing in the Euros, and we had such a good team, and Tom was brilliant in that 19s Euros as well. Joe Hodge and that, like, you know, it was some really, really cool and savage experiences, I have to say.
Yeah, because there's a lot of negativity sometimes around Irish football, but in the last, let's say, you know, 5, 6, 7 years, we've produced a lot of good underage teams.
So many good teams and so many good players. And I think that was probably, like, I don't want to sound like I'm a pundit here now or anything, but, you know, like, you look at Stephen Kenny and the players that he obviously brought into that first team, but like that 21s team, let's say with like Jason Lumby and all them, that's an unbelievable team as well. And then they had the likes of kind of my age group, the lads on that were right up there, and then even a few of them made the jump to 21s and then into the senior panel. So like, and we were kind of used to winning games with Ireland, like going away with Ireland, we were like used to beating big teams. And I said, I've played in 2 Euros, a lot of lads have played in 2 Euros. Brilliant. which is not many can say they have. So like the talent and quality coming through was absolute, is still frightening. And I think you'll see the kind of fruits of that hopefully in the next probably year or two, once they kind of make that or get used to the level of obviously just first team international football. But the experience and the quality of them players is in this Ireland team now is unbelievable. Like,
yeah, and a lot of them might break into even their own first team in the next couple of years. Sometimes some people are late, yeah, developers, course, aren't they? You know, they don't want to all break in at 17 or 18.
No,
like, you know.
I think that's probably, it's nearly unrealistic to think 17, 18, you have to be playing. It's only the really top players do that. But like, you know, the talent that is there will hopefully come to the fruits of it and get Ireland back winning again, because there's some really unbelievable players there.
So when you signed for Celtic then, was it a case the Irish education system that was over full time with Celtic then?
Yeah, so I signed with Celtic in the summer just after I was in TY time. So I turned 16 in the March, and I moved then fully, let's say in the July, I think, junior July. And that was the end of my TY year. So I'd done the junior, sir. And then as I said, mom and dad was quite big on getting education. So I went to Celtic. It's actually quite a good system with St. Ninian's that it's like, they have a partnership with the school where you go to school.
Do A levels or something, is it?
Yeah, do hires. Yeah, yeah. It's basically the same.
Kind of like,
yeah,
this is it.
It's basically your leaving cert, but they did, you could do it over kind of 2 years. So my first year at Celtic, we did it. You'd be in school, I can't remember the full thing, but you might have been in school from, let's say, 9 till 12 on a Monday. And then you'd go train from, like, you'd be up in training and then from, let's say, afternoon and evening. So you'd be up there from 1 till maybe 5 or 6. And then you'd be in all day Tuesday just training. Then Wednesday, you could be in from 9 till 12 again. And so we were in 3 days a week for 3 half days my first year there, because you're still only 16, let's say. And in that, my first year there, I done 3 of my, so you can kind of split it. So do you know what you do leaving, sir, here? It's like 6 subjects.
That's right.
6 or 7 subjects in the one time. In Scotland, you can do it. And the format there was you could do, let's say, 3 1 year and then 3 the following year. So
it takes pressure off.
Yeah, it takes pressure. And it's even just for, let's say, they're not a fresh footballer, just in school, it's obviously, it's quite easy, like not easy, but to just do 3 subjects 1 year in, let's say, 5th year and then 3 and 6 year is really quite, it's nice treat, you know, it is easier. So, and you can just focus on them. So I done that. And then I done the my first year in school, done the three exams. And yeah, basically it's like, you know, exams in a big exam hall the end of summer and all that. Like, so I done that, and then came back for Ireland for the summer for 5 or 6 weeks we had off. And then when I went back to Scotland, went pre-season, and I was under 17 the first year I went there. Then Celtic went to reserves. So there was no 21s. It just went to like Celtic B team.
So they have a B division in Scotland, do they?
Yeah, so they have a B team which play in the, they now play in the Lowland League of Scotland. So it's like an actual...
Oh, it's actual league?
They're in an actual league, yeah. Which only came the last year I was there. So I never really got the full benefit of it. But when I went to, as I said, the Resis, it was like, you just play... There was no official league. We were in a cup, all right, like the Scottish Cup and that.
But it's kind of friendly. Most times
it might have been friendlies. Like I said, it was two cups we were in, and so I went back and done pre-season with the Reggies, and then ended up getting kept on by them. But they're full time, just basically with the first team. You train
So you're training with the first team?
No, so there's the first team and the Resis both on separate pitches, but like you have the exact same schedule so that the first team can just, let's say they wanted to have a look at it today, or they needed numbers or whatever, they could, you know, you're in the...
Two injuries, take a few lines out.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So that was what I done with pre-season, and I had a good pre-season, and then the club were like, no, you're going to stay with them for the year. So I went full-time then with the Resis, which means you obviously can't go to school. So I done kind of my three exams the first year, and was meant to do two more to have five. He was like, obviously with mom and dad, I was like, look, it kind of gets to the stage where it's like, I'd rather come back and do education and give this a full lash rather than hold off on going full time with them, do my education, and then in a year later they're like, right, we don't really need you anymore, kind of thing.
You have to take it away.
And to be fair, obviously my mom knew at that stage. I was 17, and I went there and moved up with them full time. There was two or three of us that moved up, and then just kind of, was with there then for nearly 4 years, I suppose, after that. So three or four years full time with them, which was an unbelievable experience.
And at any stage, did you get close to the first team, get a call up or a squad?
I suppose when you're there training every day, it's not the biggest thing in the world when you get to train with the first team after your first couple of sessions, because it's quite a frequent thing where they just, they bring lads up into their short positions, injuries after games, you train the day after them. So like you're with them every day, like you're in the academy, you're in the canteen, you're literally around them 24/7. So done quite well actually after Rogers obviously left that year and went to Leicester. So he was the manager that signed me there. So I was, when I say quite close to him, he was obviously the manager brought me there. So I had a good relationship in a way with him. And
he keep an eye on you, would he chat to you?
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, he was outstanding. Yeah, I obviously, looking back now, I would have loved to have been like around him more because of how amazing he was. Like, yeah, he was absolutely brilliant, but the level there is just so frightening. So when he went to Leicester, Lennon came in, and Damien Duff was obviously in the academy as well. So he jumped up with Lennon, Neil Lennon, to do it. So I got away with them then that pre-season. So at the end of that season where Lennon came in, started the next year there, went pre-season with him and was quite, let's say you get to a point where it's like, you're not comfortable, you can never be comfortable around, because you're always trying to chase what's in front of you. But I was with him every day and travelled around with him. We went to like Austria and Switzerland, and that was just such a cool experience being around him. Played in a good few of the pre-season friendlies that year, and then that was actually the summer then we had the 19s Euro, so things were obviously really good then. But it's funny, I just describe it like once the season starts, and I think Scotland were in the Euros that summer as well, so a good few of the Scottish boys were obviously gone away with them, so that kind of allowed us to go travel.
They were laid back to train, you know.
So do you know what I mean? And then once they kick into gear, they're frightening. Like, yeah, the level that they're at every single day, it's inexplainable. Like, so, but as I said, when you're there, you're around it quite a bit. And then the following year, I think it was COVID then that year. or maybe the year after, and I travelled to Wales with them, down to like Celtic Manor and had a week with them down there. That was obviously Ange had come in then at that stage, so I was with him for maybe a week or two. But then once they all came back, I kind of knew at that stage then that I was like, I'm not going to play a regular here. And it's like anything, when you're not playing regularly, you want to, you can obviously stay there and just train with them, but after a while it's like,
you want to get game time.
Yeah, I want to get, and not that I was banging the door and I want a game here, but it's just like, right, I know now I'm not going to play here. I need to go make a career for myself. I can stay here and maybe for another year, and it would be, not that it would be detrimental to your year, but like going playing week in, week out somewhere would obviously be more beneficial than just training here. Like if you're just training and you're not playing, you're kind of forgotten about, let's say, to everyone else. So, but yeah, it's such unreal experiences, and training with certain players that are just, yeah, it was basically a dream come true for me. Like it was really, really quite special, and such a, yeah, there were such special people there that it's, I still be quite friendly with a lot of them, and I loved the place. Like, so it was yeah, it was just amazing, really.
And did you then have to put in like a request to say, could I go out on loan, or do they suggest it to you? How does that work?
Yeah, well, like, let's say the level I was at there, it was still like, I was still looked at as an academy player because I'd been there for a good few years. So I would chat still with the, it wasn't like I was in the first team plans by any means. I wasn't saying, not saying that, but I would go, I'd still deal with the academy manager, who was Chris McCart at the time. So, and obviously my agent. So he was, it wasn't like I was chatting to the chief director or anyone like that, or the first team manager. They obviously knew that I was there, but I was more so still just chat to the academy managers and the likes of, when I was coming to my end there, it was like Steve McManus and Darren O'Dean, that I'd still just chat to them and try and figure out what's best for me to do. So then that's why it was, it would be them that I'd speak to. But I suppose if you're, let's say, signed as a first team player, if they've watched for a couple of million and you're there and you're not playing, then you'd obviously probably deal with the first team manager. Yeah. I'm not 100% sure how that works, because it was, as what I was dealing with was more just the academy, the head of the academy and stuff, which was a bit easier.
But they sent you out on loan then first to Cliftonville, was it?
Yeah, so I went on loan to Cliftonville the January of COVID. So that was I actually really, I enjoyed it up there. It was my first time ever playing. It was difficult because I obviously wanted to, like, you think you, when you go somewhere on loan first, you're going to play. I played quite a bit, but you want to play every single game. Do you know that kind of way?
You think that automatically is going to happen, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I went up there, and Cliftonville was really enjoyable. Paddy McLaughlin was the manager, and we lost the European playoff final to Larne the year I was there, and I played 15 or 20 games in that kind of, it was only like a 5 month probably loan, and then they obviously, I seen,
started 21, wasn't it?
Yeah, they started from the January there till the May, and it was weird because it was obviously COVID, so there was nothing really to do. It was Belfast was kind of shut down, and then
far away from Nina.
Yeah,
well,
you're still, you may as well be in
Glasgow.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Yeah, so it was still far away, so it was just strange, but it was good. It was my first ever taste for first team football, which definitely has stood to me since. And then I was only chatting to a few of them the other day because they won the Irish Cup up there, which is something that even when I was there, that was what they all wanted to win. And it's the big one, and they finally won it the other day. And just some really good lads up there. So yeah, it was good to see that for them as well.
So then, how did the Cork City deal come about?
Yeah, here we are. I suppose
summer of 21.
Summer 21. Yeah. Yeah, the big one was obviously Colin. He's the reason I'm here. 100%. I'd obviously, as I spoke on there with Tom Mohan at the Irish 19s Euros, Colin was like a assistant at that with him. So
he knew what you were like.
Yeah, so we obviously, and it's funny, like when he was like assistant, but he was kind of, there was two or three of them, so he was. I'm going to say the fun one, but he was quite like, he wasn't the manager, do you know that kind of way? So I obviously was quite friendly with him. Everyone was quite friendly with Matt at the Oars. He's brilliant, like, so.
But would you have spoke to him a lot then about coming through the ranks himself at Celtic? Like, he had that in common?
Yeah, we kind of drifted kind of towards each other because we had that. He obviously came through the academy and then fully made it, which was something I had, at the time when I first met him, was exactly what I was trying to do, so. I'm not going to say he's seen a bit of himself in me, but you know, we kind of had the same, let's say, half the same kind of start to our careers anyway. So we got on straight away and he was brilliant at me at the 19 Euros, and that's where our relationship kind of began. So I'd still been in contact with him, always kind of chatting and whatnot, because we'd been, it was a couple of camps. We obviously had the first round and the Elite Fair, so it was the bones of a year and a half qualification. Then we were 3 weeks, as I said, at the tournament. So
you get to really,
when you're in that bubble, you really are, you have to be close to people. So we were really quite close, and we had a lot of the same people and a lot of the same contacts that he had back then. We're still at the club at the time, and we were kind of in the same circle in a way. So he spoke to me. I obviously wanted to play first team football after once you kind of play first team football, it's very hard to go back and play academy football, and I went back to Celtic then after Cliftonville. Loan deals can be a bit tricky. They can get long and a bit annoying in a way because of, deals at the end of it and what date you're back and this and that. And obviously they work two different seasons, Ireland and Scotland. So
that's right, yeah.
That kind of came into it. But it was so easy because he was quite friendly with the likes of the people that were dealing with able to loan. So it wasn't like emailing here and emailing there and going around and agents and that. It was pretty much straightforward. The Celtic connection was there. They obviously, the one good thing about academies is they do kind of want you to play when they send you somewhere on loan. I take it back, not all the time, but I was quite, Celtic look after me in a way. They wanted to put me somewhere where, even though maybe my, I kind of had an idea my time might have been coming to an end there, they still wanted me to go and play basically week in, week out. So they kind of had that trust with Colin that, look, he's going somewhere, he's going to be looked after, and they knew that, so it was very easy. And that was that. Yeah, obviously I had a couple of phone calls with Colin, and it was more so just about when and where rather than like paperwork, that kind of way. And yeah, I came here and loved it.
Kind of hit the ground running straight away. Even, I know you came in kind of for the second half of the season.
Yeah.
But kind of got established quite quick. Like, started scoring a couple of goals, probably became a bit of a favourite with the fans. That must have felt good.
Yeah, I suppose that's what football's about. Like, and regardless of what level you're at, if you're playing good football in a really good environment and you're happy, there's so much to be said for it. And it's a very hard thing to... You see, like, it's a very hard thing to achieve in football as well, as in be somewhere where you really are, where you really like and you're really liked, kind of way. So, yeah, I obviously came and it was more so kind of knew that the club was not where they wanted to be straight away. Obviously, Colin had told me that, and we were kind of chasing playoffs, but it wasn't the plan to come and, let's say, go get promoted straight away there because of the damage that had been done, let's say, the start of that season. So he kind of talked straight away about building something, and I signed the same day with Aaron Bulger and that. Like, I've played with Aaron at Ireland as well, and he'd known Colin. So, like, we came together, and I think Colin kind of knew that we were going to do well because he'd known us, that kind of way. So signed with Bulger, and although we didn't have the best end of the season, it was more so planting seeds, I think.
Kind of building the foundations.
Yeah, looking back at it, at the time I was coming to play, I was still at Celtic, so all I wanted to do was play week in, week out and get as much games and get as much minutes and goals under my belt. And Colin was probably looking at it like that as well, but also thinking, right, can he come here and maybe get him to love it, so we might come back then in the January or something, that kind of way. And then I loved it. Yeah, as I said, we finished the season quite strong in terms of results at that time, where I think we only played 10 or 11 games and we had like 6 or 7 wins. And it was basically two sides of the season. One, the start was really poor, and then the end of it, we finished quite strongly, bar I think a couple of mad results. But it was just really enjoyable time, and I really started loving football. Cause it was obviously quite tough when you hadn't been playing a Celtic and whatnot. And then when I went back, that was when kind of Colin, I had still got another, my deal wasn't up with Celtic until I think that July it was.
So that was the initial contract that you had signed
I'd signed, when I first signed the Celtic, I had a 3-year deal, and then halfway through that I signed an extension for 2 years. So the end of the 5th year was going to be that, let's say the July.
Is there a fair element to stats coming in then?
In terms of leaving Celtic?
Yeah, like, that winter you're kind of saying, what's going to happen to me?
Yeah, I think it's not really fear. I kind of had the mindset, like, if I stay here at Celtic, I'm not going to play. I was banging on the door to play in terms of the level. I was just like, I can't, like, playing friendlies here or resis games. Like, at that time then, I was kind of one of the oldest in the resis, and it was kind of like, I need to go and start playing men's football to try and build my career in the men's game rather than just playing here academy games and friendlies here and there. I'm going to, if I don't start playing men's games soon, I'm going to get left behind in the game. Do you know that kind of way? So the fear element, it wasn't really fear. It was just, where can I get sorted that is a good platform to me to start trying to build my
career,
my men's career. Do you know, my academy career was coming to an end. So it was more so kind of motivation to, I want to get something sorted where I'm going to do, would go somewhere and hopefully do well. It's going to give me the best chance of doing well. So then that, as I said, at the end of that first division season, it was October, start of November, I went back to Glasgow for just back in training with them, and I kind of started talking to them. There was 6 months left in my Celtic deal, and from, let's say, the Christmas. So I was chatting to them saying, like, look, I'm obviously trying to get, I'm going to be leaving, like, so I need to start putting things in place that come the end of that summer, it's not like a messy transition. It's more so, let's kind of get things sorted now so that it's not like, it's just once the day comes and the day it's done, it's just right, we're moving on, rather than, you know, getting to, and then like, right, what are we going to do here? And you kind of lose out in another few months. You know, I didn't want to waste time. So I said, I'd love to hear. Colin was obviously really mad and keen to get me back. And I was just keen to get back to playing football week in week. I didn't want to go somewhere and play here and play there. I wanted to play every week. Or have the best chance of doing that, you know. And I knew Bulger had signed, and then he obviously signed Keats and Kevin Ali in that window. And then I knew, like, obviously the likes of Bagsy and Morford, their Coleman was obviously here, and Nulls was still here. And I was just kind of like chatting to Colin. The picture was becoming clear. Then he was like, right, like, although we finished kind of sixth last year, he was like, we're going to win the league next year. Like, it's not, we're not really, we're building, but we're not building for a while. We're building to win it right now, kind of thing. And I just bought into that straight away. It was very conversations with Colin are very like, how I like them. They're not
direct.
Yeah, they're direct, to say the least. And that's exactly kind of how I like to do things as well. So I literally came back. I was in for, I think, the second week in pre-season in the January. And that was, and Mahaley obviously was coming in as well. So the team was looking really, like, really good. So as I said, I was back early January, and we kicked on, and then we started the season quite well. It was kind of two horses race with ourselves and Galway for a long time. Waterford were obviously, they weren't as strong as what they became after, but they had some really good players, but we had managed to kind of
keep them off.
We scored late winners down there. Keith's got a pen and stuff. So that was such an enjoyable year. It kind of got a little bit funny halfway through that year, because my loan deal with Celtic, or my loan deal with City, was up on the, unless I'm going to say it's June, it was finished on, let's say, the 20th of June, but the mid-season break was the week before that, so let's say the 10th till the 17th for all the world. And then I came back to City, but Celtic had given me a window of 2 weeks that if I was going to, because it wasn't 100% I wasn't going to sign back at Celtic. You know, they kind of wanted to leave a bit of space that if I was going back there, I'd have time off. I'd have like a 2 week race where I'd have be able to get away on holiday or something, and then I'd go back to Celtic fresh for pre-season. So I wasn't, let's say, going from playing January all the way to July and then going straight into pre-season. Do you know that kind of way? They left a kind of 2 week. So my loan deal ended on like a Monday, rather than like the 3rd, usually the 31st, you know that kind of way?
Yeah.
So I actually ended up going on the mid-season break. Never didn't really think about it. I just presumed it was, I never really thought that my deal was up. I kind of thought it would be up just the end of the month. Then as we were on the mid-season break, we realized that my deal was up on like a random day, 2 weeks before the end of the month. So I came back to City for a day, and then at the time we were obviously flying kind of anyway. We were top of the league. I was obviously playing quite well. I'd managed to score a good few goals, and myself and Keith were starting to build something quite nice partnership together, and we were winning games. And City were offering me a deal, but I couldn't sign. My insurance with Celtic, like I would, the City would have nearly had to pay me out, pay the last 2 weeks of my comp, but it would have been a full compensation fee or something
to get you out,
to get me out. Yeah.
So you had to wait.
I had just been back from holidays, so it came in, and then it was up that day, and Colin was like, "You can't train with us because insurance. Like, if you get injured here, you're not covered by." Well, it wasn't really Colin was saying that, but I, with me and my agent, that was the that was just the safety part of it. Like, I wasn't covered by Celtic because I wasn't back there, but I also wasn't covered by City because
you're not contracted.
My loan deal was up. So then I was like, and City, and it wasn't worth paying out for 2 weeks, you know, that kind of way. It was kind of, but I was wrecked after it because, as I said, I played the end of the fall. So if you go take it back, which is, we're going all over the place here. If you actually, I'd finished up in the
with
November,
Cliftonville and went straight in.
Straight in. Then I played with City up until the end of that first division season,
and
where
I
finished
the reserves.
Went straight back to Glasgow. Then that was the Christmas, had maybe the week off of Christmas.
Yeah.
Then came straight, I didn't go back to Glasgow because I kind of knew I was coming here. Went straight back, I said the first week in January, is back into pre-season here with Colin. So my first kind of break was the mid-season break of that year. I'd been playing for like nearly 2 years straight. And then it kind of just kind of flukily happened that this 2 week grace period was on. But it was still quite intense because City wanted to get a deal done, and I don't, it wasn't, but like, you obviously don't want to leave it like, oh, from probably City's point of view, like, oh, if he doesn't sign a deal here, he's doing quite well. He could go somewhere else. We could lose him. That was coming in. And all I was thinking was, I can't wait to go on a fucking holiday. Like, all I want to do is go away. I was wrecked. And then that's where I mean, it's quite mentally tough then, as in you're just getting, a lot of thinking is just not about football. It's about all the kind of paperwork and this and that and stuff. So Colin, I just said to Colin, look, I'm going away on holidays. I was just back from the week off in the mid-season break. I said, I was like, look, I'm going to go away on holidays again for a week. And I just said to Colin, look, I'm not signing anywhere else. Like, as in, I'll give you my word. If I'm going to do anything, I'll come to you first. I think that's where me and Colin got on very well, was we had a very trustworthy kind of relationship. So went away on holidays, as I said, for a week, and then came back. And once I came back, it was only a few days left before my before the, let's say, my Celtic deal was up, and we had been speaking to City obviously about a deal and stuff, and then I knew I was going to sign a deal at City, so I was just at home then for a few days waiting for just relaxing, and then that was when all the kind of uproar about me leaving, that's where it all kind of came from in a way. But the funny part about it was, me and the Colin was like, everyone knew that was
that you were staying
between the two of us. Yeah, I wasn't anywhere else but just on holidays, because I was wrecked. I'd said that to him, and he was more than happy for me to just go on holidays and not be anywhere else. Like, so it worked out grand, and ended up signing then straight away as the deal ended. Let's say on the 31st that month, on the 1st, I signed City. I was back training that day because I was obviously back in short and all that came into it. So
you're also probably trying to safeguard your future as well, because you had the safety net of Celtic all along. I'd imagine this was something different. No,
of course, you're obviously cutting ties with that as well, and I think just having someone like Colin, who probably more than anyone had been through that as well, was really quite good at guiding me, and not necessarily guiding me, but he kind of did it in a good way, in terms of he wasn't ringing my phone every day, but he kind of knew. Yeah. A lot of it wasn't even necessarily about me signing for City at the time. It was just let him kind of cut ties with Celtic. You know, he's finished there. Let him just get settled back home in terms of leaving Celtic, and let him just give him a bit of breathing space in a way, which he was really quite good at. But then on the other side of it, he knew when to kind of push as well, which is something that he's really good at.
And did any other club come in that time and try to jump in on the deal at the last minute?
As I said, I had a trustworthy relationship with Colin, and at the time I knew we were going to win the league, to be quite honest. I thought we had the best team, I thought we had the best manager, and we had the best players, so I was like, I'm not going to go anywhere else that was going to battle against that, you know what I mean? And before anything ever had happened with any noise, me and Colin said that I'm going on holidays, and if anything happens, I'll speak to you first about it. And he knew I was serious about that, and I knew that he was serious about it, so was never any worry about it. That was that. Yeah, it was easy as that, in a way.
And you did go on to win the league. That must have been a great feeling for you.
Yeah, it was. It was a really special feeling. I think it was special for the whole club after what the kind of last probably 2 years or so, what it was like. It was really quite difficult for people. So I think just the whole kind of process of how we brought a team together and gel really quickly and then went and kind of really performed consistently really well for the whole year. And it was a really good team. As I said, the joy it brought to people was outstanding, and it was definitely something. Regardless of everything, it definitely something. My first time ever winning a league and playing week in, week out in men's football, it was really a special feeling.
A great first full season with the club as such, like, because obviously the previous season you'd only been kind of coming at the end.
So it was still my first, as it was for me, it was my first still full experience of men's football in terms of being settled at a club and playing week in,
for
week out.
A whole season,
a full season of winning the league, battling for 3 points, stuff like that you wouldn't be used to as a just coming out of an academy. And that takes time to kind of learn that side of the game as well. So it was an amazing first season for me. Yeah.
So going into the Premier Division then, you obviously probably came to contract time again, did it? In the case of, no, you had a brilliant season in the first division. Yeah. No, was there offers on the table from other people?
There was, if I was being honest, there was. But it's very hard to leave somewhere when you're happy. And I've kind of always known that, even when I was at Celtic and stuff, when you're happy is when you're playing. And it's not just happy, like, oh, walking around with your head in the clouds. When it's like a really good environment, like it's a professional environment, everything's like bang on, and it's a really kind of, not a tough place to be, but it's like, you know, the city's really big and it's a brilliant place when it's going well. When you have that, you don't just kind of, you don't blink an eye at them and walk away, you know, that kind of way. So as I said, after winning with Cork as well and seeing, like, that's probably the minimum it would be in terms of winning the first division, if winning a cup or a Premier Division or whatever it would be obviously another step bigger than that, of course, if not two or three. So I kind of knew what it was like, and kind of could see it at that time, could see it kind of building towards being something really special. And then I spoke with City, and obviously a big part of it was Colin was still here. Keith was coming back. I knew the team was, the takeover was kind of happening. So it was a little bit messy at that stage, but it was quite, I think that's where, only from personally, I can speak that my relationship with Colin was really important, because although it was quite messy, maybe looking from the outside in terms of just how long it was taking and dribs and drabs kind of, me and Colin would speak regularly, and that kind of friendship level before the professional level really came into place there. And I wanted to, I won here, I won the league here, I wanted to experience Cork City in the Premier Division. I did. That was the biggest kind of carrot to stay, was I know what this club can be, and if we get it right, this could take off, and I want to be part of that. And having that in the back of my mind, it really was at that time, it wasn't that hard of a decision to make, coming off the back of a really good first division winning season. All I wanted to do was go have a really good first year in the Premier Division. You know?
Did you find a big change going from first division to Premier Division, the standards?
It would be stupid for me to sit here and go, no, we didn't see any difference. Do you know what I mean? Because like, the proof's in the pudding and the results show that. I think it was... it was obviously tougher because you're playing week in, week out against better opposition and you've got to be on it every week. But it was more so what we found tough was we performed really well against teams, the best teams in the league, which we knew we could do. What we struggled with was to find consistency to do it. I think looking back at it, probably maybe a bit more experience would have helped a lot of us, because I think there's probably a lot to be said for that, and you only really learn that when you go through something like that. But performance levels obviously weren't good enough throughout the season, but there was moments we were really good, and I think if we could have consistently, I think we just ebbed and flowed too much in terms of we were either kind of really good or we were probably really bad. We never seemed to be poor and get a result, which is really what the good teams do. If you look at the likes of, I'm not going to call anyone poor, to be honest, that would be stupid for me, but if you just look at maybe even us in the first division, there was games we weren't really that great, but we'd win or we wouldn't concede.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of way. Whereas in the Premier Division, we'd play really well and we could have a really good spell of a first half or even 60, 70 minutes, and we might only be 1-0 up, or we might even be 0-0, and then we concede. And they'd be like, well, we played really well there, but we've just conceded. Whereas if, so I'm looking at it from the other team's point of view, they didn't play well for a long period of the game, but they still managed to get a result. Whereas we'd play really well, we might not get a result. Mm. And then, but if we played, if we were off it, or we played poorly, we'd get punished, we'd get beat by a few goals, you know, that kind of way. So I think looking back at that's probably the biggest learning point, is that consistently we weren't good at being bad, if that makes sense. When we were bad, we were bad, and when we were good, we were real good, and we just couldn't find that level of consistency with that.
Do you think you were short experienced players that were used to the division, playing maybe for some of the other clubs for over a period of time, that could have maybe steadied you a bit or something like that?
Definitely. We were, but it would be cheeky for me to kind of be here and after playing that many games last year and go, oh, if I had experience beside me, we were doing better. That's far from what I'm saying. I just think in moments, having that experience, even around the training ground and stuff and going to difficult places, would definitely have helped. But the main point and reason for it was we weren't good enough, me personally and as a collective. That's number one. I just think it would just be stupid to look at number one and go, right, then there's all the answers. You've got to kind of figure out, and that's where looking in the mirror comes into it and figuring out why you weren't good enough, because there was moments against really good players and the top players in the league where we played really well and done really well. Why didn't we do that consistently? That's kind of where we need to learn from. And I think a part of that, if you had more experience of successful or just like guys with games under the belt in the league, would maybe have helped us. I'm not saying that it would have made a massive difference, but just thinking about it, I think it would have definitely gave us a better chance. All right.
Did bringing in a lot of players from overseas that weren't familiar with the league, did that kind of damage you in some ways in terms of trying to get a rhythm going? Did you find that there was nearly too many changes or?
No, I don't think so, because the players we brought in were actually quite good. Like, you look at Kev was really good, and then Danny Krezic, the formation we played for quite a while didn't suit him, but that was fine in a way, that happens. And then Albin, I think, came in, maybe struggled for a while at the start, and then he was just getting fit. He obviously done his knee. So, but I maybe just think, I'm not going to say that signings didn't work, because I didn't work either. When I say didn't work, we didn't perform well. But if you just look at the best teams in the league, they're consistently we obviously had quite a lot of issues with our goalie. Then we picked up a lot of niggles. That comes probably with the intensity of playing kind of better teams week in, week out. But I think we just found it hard to get a kind of consistent 11 on the pitch. And then once you're kind of changing, you're kind of chasing your tail a bit as well. But it was tough as well. It's not like it's tough to say, oh, we should have went and signed experience. Like, it's not like they're just sitting on the side of the road and you go and pick them. A lot of them are kind of either nearly legends in their own way at the club they're at, or are older enough that they're not really maybe wanting to move to Cork. Saying that the takeover took quite a while. So it was kind of into early January, where late January, when we kind of had settled, as in we were in a room with like the manager and staff there, the players there, and it's like, right, we were kind of on the back foot already with that. That's probably no one's fault, you know what I mean? But that's a massive factor. A lot of lads were wrapped up probably November, December, January, whereas we were only kind of coming to the table
too late,
which I do feel sorry for Colin about. I do, and it was hard. It's like when you're coming up, you need to have, like, that probably needed to be done. I'm saying it like it needs to be done. I don't know how these things aren't easy to get done. There's loads of paperwork, I know that. So it's not like they were just not showing up to do it. You know, everyone was trying to get it done. I know that for a fact. But when you're coming up, you need to get everything right straight away. As in, you're coming up, so you're basically going to be like, what is it, the 10th, 11th worst team in the league, because you're literally coming into the league. So like, everything outside of the football has to be nailed to give yourself some chance, you know what I mean? Because the football side is going to be tough anyway. You see that when you get promoted from the Championship to the Premier League. You see teams that come up usually go back down. It's a very difficult thing to do, but I think just having that, maybe just being a little bit late to the party in terms of trying to get experienced players in or different types of players in. And then probably from the outside, it looked a bit messy as well. So you're probably thinking, like, oh, takeover's just happening. What's actually going on down there? I might leave it till
next year.
Do you know that kind of, I might leave it till next year and the male hopefully they're still there. Rather than, let's say you're at, I don't know, let's say you're at a patch or somewhere and you're like, right, I'm in a really good environment here. It's a stable environment in terms of, I'm just taking pass as a pure example here. Whereas if I go to Cork, it doesn't maybe, mightn't look that stable. You know, players, that might have been a factor for players to come as well, you know. So I just think maybe being a little bit late to the party, them things add up and probably affected us in the long run. But as I said, like, they're just kind of, you're just kind of, they're not excuses. You're just kind of maybe trying to figure it out so it doesn't happen again. But the main reason was, like, the players on the pitch, we didn't perform consistently. And that's a fact. Like, the other things I'm saying are just my personal opinion on maybe stuff that might have been, might have helped us. They're far away from the actual, let's say, main issue, which was us on the pitch, like, for sure.
Did you find it hard personally then when Colin left? Because obviously you had that connection going back for years. So when he left, was that a blow to you?
It was. It was a blow. It wasn't necessarily a blow him leaving. It was a blow that I probably didn't perform as well as I wanted to for him. And if I had, he probably would still be in the job. Do you know that kind of way? I probably took a good bit of that on the chin, but held on to it. It was tough. And I think a good few of us, a lot of lads, let's say, that were there the first year and lads I had signed, really wanted to do well for him. And I don't know, kind of, obviously it's different, relationships are different. So not like, as I said, you're bringing kind of in maybe some foreign lads and lads that maybe weren't there that long. Like, so they probably don't have that love connection or respect, which is normal. Like, it'd be like, it's, that would happen to me if I went to a new club and someone was there a few years, you know, that kind of way. But definitely for me, I just felt guilty. Obviously over him losing the job, but more so the reason he's losing the job is because I didn't perform, and as a team, we didn't perform as well as what he wanted. I can happily sit here and say it wasn't down to lack of effort or lack of trying or lack of kind of self, like, I suppose, trying to get better, trying to figure it out. I really did try and do that, but it was just disappointing that you kind of, someone who had obviously trusted you when I was trying to step into the men's game, and then I'd done really well with him, obviously to underperform, and then for him to not be in a job, basically down to that being one of the factors, it was obviously I was very disappointed, yeah, for sure.
What was the morale like in the dressing room then? Was it, did it kind of go down after that? Because, you know, sometimes you get this kind of manager bounce, new manager bounce or whatever. It felt like it didn't really take off, you know, like, so was the morale low?
I think it did take off, did it not? We won 4 on the bounce, I'm fairly certain, straight away after that. So I think it did take off, and that's, the morale was, I think for a good few of us, it was more kind of fire in the belly. Just because you're probably ticked that Colin had left, but like, doesn't matter what, the motivation, whatever it is, like, it doesn't have to be, if you like it or you don't, if it fires you up in a way, maybe that was probably part of it. We obviously had Richie stepped in, Liam hadn't really, for the first kind of few weeks, Liam didn't, he obviously didn't know a lot of us in a sense. So Richie took it, and obviously Richie and Colin were, you know, they're, two of them were together. So like, we're not going to sit here and say we did it for Colin, because that would sound cheeky nearly to say that. But you know, we were gutted that he had left, and we kind of channeled that, and Richie channeled that in a really good way, that we went and got results. We obviously, you know, we had that good game against Bowes where we scored in the last minute, and then we beat Drogheda away. I don't know who else we beat. We beat Dundalk at home again. Beat Rovers in that mad red card game. Do you know what I mean? I know the ref helped us out a bit there.
Yeah, that was a crazy game.
The ref helped us out there a bit. But
a good cup run then as well.
Yeah, so we kind of did bounce back.
We were kind of unlucky, like, against Pats in the semi-final.
So, it was unlucky. I think it was frustrating, that semi-final, because we had such a big carrot in front of us. But just the goals we kind of conceded, especially the first goal, it was kind of the same goal we conceded the week previous against Pats in the league. And obviously, is it Owen Doyle or Mark Doyle? He's renowned for that, just that back post run. He just taps it in. He's brilliant at it. It is hard to defend, but like we knew he was going to do, and when it happened, it's like, Jesus, nearly a sucker punch. But that was kind of, as I said, we did get a bounce once Colin left and Richie came in, and then it was more so, that's where I say, like, consistency killed us. We showed we could do it. It was just, why couldn't we do it week in, week out? And it was obviously tough then, because it was kind of Richie and Cairns came in, they're brilliant, and then Liam obviously came in then after he got kind of, you know, up and running himself. It was kind of,
I think he kind of take over the running of it then.
Yeah, like, he did, but I think in a way it was probably unfair on him. He didn't come down to be the manager, like, so I know he gets stick for it and he probably takes it himself as well, but like he didn't come to Cork to be the manager either, so I don't know this for a fact, but I'm just thinking it's probably a bit unfair, and maybe for him as well. As I said, he didn't want to be the manager, or didn't come here to be the manager, as should I say. But yeah, I said we just couldn't get that. We just could not get consistency into performances that when we performed bad, could we just get a point or even scrape a win? Or, like, you know, points were vital, but then as well, like, a draw would have been a good result away to places, but it either seemed that we were really good or just not at it, which was the most frustrating part from a player's point of view. And then, as I said, it was maybe wasn't as easy then, because we had three or four kind of people on the sideline every week, and although they're all trying to do the same thing, it's a lot of mixed messages and mixed teams then, and it's like, geez, we just need to settle this ship here and try at that stage, just can we just settle and try and give this, can we stay up, is what it was. And yeah, then that was the
into the playoff, were they kind of like, were you optimistic taking on Waterford? You were familiar with them from the season before, but
yeah, of course we were optimistic. We were like, we were ready, like we knew what was at stake. I don't think anyone lacked what was at stake, but we knew that Waterford were a different outfit as well to what we'd obviously faced in the cup that year, but from the previous year they obviously had two really good, it was literally two sides of the coin. You do look at there, they obviously brought in like Rennie and Keith Long, who were established, really experienced, and they put a way of playing in, like, and the Waterford had obviously bought into that for whatever 6-8 months, how long they were there for before that, whereas we were probably a lot of changes, a lot of different players, a lot of different kind of, and that happens when you're losing, you're trying to change things to kind of get a reaction or do this different,
small things to fix it,
yeah, and you know, but then it kind of goes into, geez, what are we actually doing, because we're doing so much. But it's all that, like, that's all done out of a really good place of trying to do the right thing. It's not like, would have been easy just to sit there and say, right, we're going to change nothing, and we would copy it every week as well. Do you know, everyone was trying to do the right thing. But they obviously, as I said, look, going into that game, they were probably a lot more steady than us, which is kind of always the way in the playoff finals, because one team's obviously done quite well to get there and one team's obviously done quite poorly to be in the situation. So that's only normal in them games, but that's what happens when you do go into a game 7, 50-50, like, you know. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was tough. That was tough, to say the least.
What was it like going back into the dressing room after that?
Yeah, definitely probably the worst feeling in the world, yeah. I by far, just terrible. Like, there's no other way to put it. I genuinely don't think or hope that it will, by far definitely the worst night of my life, like, in terms of football. I know football is it, but probably I'd be very surprised if there's a worse night in my career from here on out than that night, yeah, for sure. Just after everything that went on that year, just everything, yeah, it was definitely, yeah, absolutely, that's the only way to put it.
You attempted to walk away after it?
Oh, was I tempted to walk away from Cork? I don't think so.
No?
What was I tempted to walk away from football nearly? As in, are you talking right after the game, like, or...
Away from the city, like?
Oh, yeah. No, obviously after the game, you're just thinking, oh my God, like,
well, somewhere else, yeah. Fresh start?
I went, like, obviously in the dressing room after, you are thinking, like, I can't show my face ever again, do you know what I mean? I'm going at, like, like, what have I just done for the last kind of 10 months? You're thinking, yeah, you're literally thinking, oh my God, I just quit. Like, I'm saying that hypothetically, as in,
yeah, well, you always think the worst, yeah,
you're
just happens.
As in, I'm talking like in the dressing room, you're just thinking, oh my God. But look, I obviously, that was the end of the season. I went back home to Tip for a few weeks, and funny, I say, like, you go back to Tip, it's still like, people necessarily don't understand the magnitude of it. Obviously, they know we got relegated, but they don't really, because hurling's such a big thing there. So you kind of do get away from it. Whereas I know certain lads, like it's from Cork, it's very hard to get away from it when you're around people, and they understand it. Do you know that kind of way? So me going back to Tip was, it was nice to be able to go back there and just kind of, I didn't have to hear about it every day. So I went back for, went back home, went away for a few days on holidays, and I'd obviously just been speaking to Richie, probably a few days after the cup final, gave me a ring after the playoff final, and we just kind of stayed in touch then and spoke with Dermot and that. And I genuinely, from that night in Tallaght when I went home, I didn't think about football for at least, I'm going to say, 2 or 3 weeks, like, as in, obviously speaking with a family of my age, and I just said, I need a break from this. Like, yeah, I was just so intense, and just everything that went on the whole season with everything that happened within football, outside of football, it was really tough. Like, it was, so it was nice to get home, as I said, and then you gotta go again. The one big thing I kind of wanted to do, and I was like, I don't want to sound pure cringe here saying it, but it's like, I knew I had to try right the wrong of last year. Like, and I can safely say, like, sitting here, that was just in my head, probably. As I said, I didn't think about it, but it was in my head basically straight away. I was like, I came to Cork and wanted to, like, get put the jersey in a better position. If I ever was to leave, it would be the jersey's in a better position than what it was when I first got. No, probably won't be, as in, it was tough enough because Beats winning cup finals and that wearing 10 was not going to, if I get to that, I'll take that shout out to Beats. But as I said, it was just a tough, I kind of had that motivation. So then, as I said, in the off season, that just came back, and it was, I just, the one big thing was just trying to right the wrong of that previous year, and wanted to, yeah, I said, set the kind of the record straight and give it a go, you know, that kind of way. So then it was grand. When I said, I spoke with Richie and Dermot, and then Tim obviously got announced, and then it was basically kind of was a new club then again, in terms of a new manager came in again, and it's like you're speaking to a whole new manager about like a club that obviously a lot of lads were leaving and that, so it kind of had that. Nearly did feel like you're talking to a new club in a way.
Yeah, a lot of,
like,
new players in the first team as well.
Yeah, and that was, I think that was needed. But as I said, I know you're saying about, oh, did you think about going somewhere else or that? But when I was kind of speaking to Cork, it was totally different to what I was 2 years ago and even the year previous. You know, it was literally, I said, new manager. And it was obviously Dermot kind of first off season in terms of everything was wasn't settled. But, like, you know, he was in the club, and Tim got announced obviously before Christmas and that, so it kind of had that new feel effect to it, and obviously bringing Tim in was a good statement from the club to go and get an established manager from there. Yeah, so speaking to Cork then was nearly felt like a new club.
So how do you feel so far the season has gone for you?
Yeah, the season's gone obviously
better than last year anyway.
Yeah, that wouldn't be hard, would it? Oh, stuff. But no, it has. As I said, coming in for pre-season, I think Tim's hardest job, even like Richie, that was to pick boys up off literally rock bottom in a way. And I think that was probably the first few weeks of pre-season that were obviously brutal in terms of training. But the one thing that was really kind of, I don't know if they did or not, but they obviously wanted, was a really good environment around the place. Like, so even with, like, even the signings we brought in, like, so Charlie and that, really good characters. And I think that's starting to really kind of come into us now in terms of having that kind of positive place around it and having some really good people in there. Because you're around each other so much and you're doing so much things together that you've got to be together all the time. You've got to have good people there, you know? So having that was, the first few weeks was like you nearly kind of felt guilty, nearly enjoying yourself, because you're like, few of us that are there, it's like, you're the reason we are here in a way. Like, but as I said, Tim was really good at kind of forgetting about last year, and that was a big thing for us. And like, what's done is done, and now it's like, like people will remember how you bounce back from it as well. Like, so I said things have gone quite well. We've obviously a little bit inconsistent. Funny I'm saying that again, but I think it's in a totally different manner in terms of a bit inconsistent in terms of we've got really good young talents.
Mm.
This inconsistent is one you can deal with and one you kind of enjoy and you like to work on. Whereas the other inconsistent was like oh my God, like, oh, like whirl on your shoulders thinking like, how can we fix it? What can we do? Like, I'll take this one all day. So obviously it's a different side of it, but yeah, a little bit inconsistent maybe with performances, but I think in the last few weeks we've performed really well now since the start of the season. And you know, you still have to be patient with the lads that are young and obviously new signings and a new manager are still gelling together, but hopefully now we've made some good strides in the last few weeks in terms of performances along with the results, so hopefully we can keep building on that.
Yeah, and do you find now you're kind of one of more the senior players on the team, even though you're still young, like, yeah. But I'd imagine with a lot of the youth that have come through, like a lot of kind of 16, 17, 18 yeah. year olds around, you know.
Yeah, funny you say it is, I kind of am, yeah, one of the more experienced ones now, which is mad. When I first came, I obviously wasn't, but the good thing about inexperience in a way is that they're so free, do you know what I mean? They don't have any scar tissue or anything. They literally just know a ball and a goal, like, and that's the best way to be as well. Like, so having that, but as I said, alongside the experience we've kind of gathered now is the ones that were maybe there last year is going to benefit us. Like, we have to use it last year for our whole careers. Even myself, it's got to be got to learn from it and use it to our advantage rather than just kind of putting a wall up against it and saying, right, I'm not going to look at it or worry about it. Like, there's a lot of stuff that can be really beneficial to myself down the line, just going through something like that. If, you know, not that if it ever happened again, but you know, you can use that experience to your advantage. But having the young lads in that are just kind of free, I suppose, gives you, just even for myself, it's kind of an easy game in a way, just if you don't overcomplicate it. And I say that, like, just go and work hard and enjoy it. It can be brilliant, especially down here. And hopefully, as I said, the last few weeks have been good performances now and we can keep it going.
The defence has been solid throughout the season so far, but now the attack seems to be kind of getting there. The goals start yeah. going in. It was kind of a slow start with the goals.
Yeah, definitely. I think, like, you're going to build a house, you don't start putting in the windows when it's not built. You know, that kind of way, we kind of had that first kind of few weeks was learning, obviously, what Tim wants to do with Hamo and Richie, what the ideas are, but you have, like, can't just attack straight away. You kind of have to build it, and that's something that we work on quite a lot. But the main thing is to be defensively solid, not concede goals. It gives you the platform to go and be kind of free in the final third. But that takes just as much time, if not more time, than the attacking side of it. A lot of the attacking side of it can be a little bit not rugged, but you know, it can be a bit free, a bit more like
spontaneous.
Whereas like the defending is more so like just kind of like, do not concede, this is how we do it, we're in the blocks here and gaps and all that. Whereas so you have to work on that even harder than the attacking side of it as well, so that as I said, yeah, the first few weeks were obviously really good about putting that in, and you see we're kind of reaping the rewards of clean sheets and that now, and the boys at the back and having, you know, Brad and the goal being brilliant for us, and now we just kind of starting to kind of drip feed that into the attacking side of it and trying to get the best out of the attacking players that we have, because we've got some really talented players that can do well.
Yeah, some exciting talent as well that are different from last season, I suppose, as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what you need. I know we'd all, like, yeah, you'd love to have Keith still here banging them in. Of course. You would, absolutely. Like, but it is, do you know, obviously he moved on and he's an absolute legend down here and always will be, but it kind of opens the pathway then again for the likes of Jaden and Cahill to come in and show what they can do, and Josh Fitz and the younger healers even, like, so, you know, it's really, you know, they're frightening players as well, and they're only young starting after a career, and they're so, people are right to be excited by them and kind of be off their seats watching them, because they are and they can be really top players.
What are the goals for the rest of the season?
Who, me?
Yeah.
I don't know. 20 hopefully. We'll aim high anyway. Well, you know, what's the worst that can happen to me at 18?
But, obviously you want to win the league.
Yeah, no.
Cup run?
Yeah, like Cork, as cliche nearly sounds, like, can be the biggest club in the country. We just gotta get it right. And we're on a good pathway now to doing it again, although it probably seems for some that we were in the same position probably 2 years ago. And like, that's the game. Like, once you get it right, though, you see the success that it brings. It's just getting it right. And I think winning the league's got to be our priority. It's not going to be as easy as what people think. It's still a long way to go. And I know we're clear now, but we still got to keep performing and keep winning and making sure we're at it every week. But I think then you look, when the cup comes, we'll see, hopefully give it a good run, because you see last year, like, anyone at home, we'd probably fancy ourselves against, like, and I think we're good enough. With even like some Muzzin, that bit more experience as well, would be a very difficult team to play against, and especially when we're high on confidence as well. So definitely, whatever's in front of us or whatever we have, we're going to go and try and beat them. But the goals, like, the priorities just got to be win the league, and then the rest will take care of itself.
Well, look, we usually finish the podcast with a couple of questions, and okay. You've been popular. There's a lot to come in for you. So it's a funny one, actually. So so Jaden has asked, I don't think it's the Jaden that's playing with you.
Okay, all right.
I think it's a fan.
Right.
Barry's or Lions tea?
Oh, it's got to be Barry's tea.
That's good anyway.
There's no
the name's sake.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it there.
Now, one of your teammates has asked, why do you moan so much in training? We'll probably guess who's asked that one.
Yeah, could be a few of them all the same. I don't know. I know they say moan, but it's always a positive moan. It's never like, I know if I was to ask them, they'd be say that. Probably the first one to moan at him, but probably the first one to say well done to him as well. And I think that's a good balance.
Are you just looking for more?
Just looking for more. I don't mind moaning. Like, I'm around Cork people long enough now, they're good at moaning. Like, so I'm learning that myself. But no, I think just having a moan. It's just part of it. People moan at me, I'm moaning at them. It's just trying to, it's always out trying to do better. I'm not moaning at someone because they're trying to do something that I don't think they can do, and vice versa. If someone's moaning at me, they're not doing it thinking that, they're just moaning at me to be better because they know I can do it, whether that's concentration or whatever it is. But like, yeah, shout out to Malik there anyway.
Do you get stick off the locals for living in Bandon? Dylan is asking.
Locals in Bandon or what?
I'd say locals from Cork, somehow, I'd say. Do you like Bandon?
I do like Bandon, yeah. It's grand. It's quite similar to Nina. I'm not from a big city, like, so Cork's quite in deep waters for me, and Bandon's quite more, is a bit more kind of what I'm used to. Like, so yeah,
home from home, kind
home
of.
From home in a way. I don't mind it. People are lovely down there, and I love it.
Philly wants to know, what's your favorite goal for City?
My favorite goal for City, Pat's in the cup 2 years ago. I actually ended up missing the penalty probably in the penalty shootout after, which isn't great, but wouldn't have gone if I wasn't there. So yeah, I think that was a nice moment. I said that was just when I was kind of first started playing for City and just
establishing,
and a really nice moment.
So John is asking, what's your favourite type of coffee? There's some bizarre questions coming in here.
Coffee, here we are.
Are you a latte or a espresso?
I'm a coconut milk latte. That would be my go-to. Coconut milk latte.
Milk latte.
That would be me now.
Good question from Dara here. Can we go unbeaten for the season? It's a tricky one, isn't it?
Yeah, tricky one. Look, it's way too early to be kind of thinking or talking about that. But yeah, I think we're capable of beating every team in the league, but it just comes down to consistently. Can we do it week in, week out, or every couple of days will be the question. And look, it's a very hard thing to do because playing with that many amount of games is tough. But can it be done? I hope so, but I certainly not what I'm thinking about or what we're thinking about. Not for another few months if that's the case. But look, we're going to go and try win every game anyway, and that would be a start.
And one last question, I think it's from Ryan. How long do you think you'll stay with City for?
How long will you keep me here? Look, I said it's a brilliant place to be. Although they've been really good to me as well, the club. So I love it. I really do enjoy it. I think Cork people see that. It's quite I get it down here because being from Tip, it's very similar as well. So I get the passion and the people, and even in terms of the GAA, I get what people are about down here. And as long as I can keep performing and driving City up and going through the gears as a club. It's a special place to be, and I know that. So yeah, hopefully long may I continue doing well, and City keeping me here, yeah, for sure.
And hopefully it's for a very good while.
Thanks
yet.
Thanks very much. No, I appreciate that.
Thanks a million for coming in, Barry.
No, brilliant. Thank you. Thanks very much.
Fascinating insight.
Yeah, Barry's he's brilliant. He's really good. Even his press conferences and that chat there, as you'd have heard, he's a good storyteller. He's had a lot of stories to tell. He's still young. Like, we know he's one of the experienced players now, but he's still very young.
Yeah, what is he, 23?
About that, I would say, yeah. Like, the years he had at Celtic, he's been here. This is his fourth season, I think, or third season. He's won a trophy. He was very open and honest there about the disappointment of last year. And hopefully he'll have his hands on another trophy this year and get us back to... I know he was talking about how he wanted to get to the Premier Division and see what we can do, but we ultimately didn't do anything last year. Whereas if we get up this year, go again next year, and hopefully he can make a mark, the rest of the lads can make a mark, and we can sort of, as he said, get that consistency and stay there.
It's not easy as well to admit that you're below performance, your levels are below performance, and, you know, he was talking about how he felt that he let down Colin in some ways, and somebody, it wasn't just him, he said that some of the lads felt the same, that they just...
Yeah, well, I noticed when he was talking about it, you could tell how personally he was taking it, because he was saying, maybe if I performed better, Colin would still be there. It was because of me. He was saying stuff like that about himself, obviously.
And he did try. Like, they go on the pitch. They don't go out to lose.
Yeah.
But sometimes you get in a rut, I think, and it's very hard to get out of it.
Yeah. And you can, like, as bad as this sounds, you can tell it affected him, but you're nearly happy that it did, because obviously you want the players to care. And he really did care and really does care. And you can tell from listening to that whole chat, he loves the club. He loves his time. He's nearly an honorary Cork man already. And like, there are a lot of other players like him. They're all like him. They all really have bought into the club and bought into what Tim wants to do, what Dermot wants to do with the club as a whole.
And he took it to heart. Like, you could see that, you know, when I asked him about that last game, the playoff to Wexford, and how he felt in the dressing room, you could, like,
obviously, the head dropped.
Like, obviously you can't see that.
But we can see it.
But
here,
we can see it. And I could see that, yeah,
it really affected him.
And he had to take a break.
Yeah.
You know? But it, like, even Aina said it last week, you know, we chatted to Aina on this, and he said it was one of the worst seasons, you know? And, you know, to be honest, I had even forgot that we had got that bounce back. Because all I could think of is we had the high of the previous winning the first division. Back up in the Premier Division, oh yes, we're going at it. Because it felt like it was ages because of COVID and everything. You know, it felt like, oh, we're back where we should be. And then for the season to kind of go the way it did, lots of changes. And I'm sure lots of fans listening to this probably felt the same, that it just felt the whole season was gloom. But there was moments.
There was a bit of a bounce. Yeah, I think it was four wins in a row. And I think the fifth game we drew, I think. Mm. Could be wrong there. But as you said, like, yes, that was a good spell. The spell after it was nearly so bad that it overrules it. You know what I mean?
And I think in my mind, that's what I forgot.
Yeah.
Because you're thinking, did it go worse? Because in my mind, it felt like it got worse towards the end of the season rather than, you know, than even the start.
It did,
Like, you know what I mean?
Barry mentioned it as well about the game against Bowes where Dan Krezic got that goal like 30 seconds after Bowes scored. Mm. That was such a good moment. But to be honest, off the top of my head, that's the only good moment I can think of. Was the only moment I was happy with last year anyway.
Yeah, I think Malik scored in the quarter final of the cup was the one for me. And, you know, we were
obviously Keats getting the hat-trick in the game against Sligo, but in terms of last season, like, you mentioned it there, we didn't get to talk about it last week obviously, but Aina's interview, and he was saying that last season was the worst season as well. Like, Aina's been there a long time and been through a lot, and for him to be able to say that, pinpoint that as one of the worst seasons, says it all really.
And I think everyone felt down. Like, no matter who we've spoken to that was involved in last season, you know, they've all kind of said, yeah, maybe we could have done something else, or maybe we could have tried this, or it, you know.
And that's good, because obviously, like, if people were coming in here saying,
such a person's fault.
Exactly.
Everyone's taken shouldering some of the blame.
Exactly. And everyone is affected by it, which, again, as bad as it is, you want to see that, because that's how it should be.
But look, we're nearly halfway through another season now, and, you know, it's gone the other way. I know it's the first division, it's not the Premier Division, so it's not like we're like as such, but...
It's only the first division, but look, again, you can only play what's in front of you and you can only beat what's in front of you. And
we have a lot of younger players as well.
Yeah, and this year, obviously there's nothing good about being relegated, but the one thing that is coming out of it is that there's the opportunity here now for those young players, and everyone. Barry mentioned Cahill, Jaden, Josh Fitz. Everyone who's in is grabbing the opportunity with two hands and they're doing well.
And they're exciting fans as well. And that's what, that, at the end of the day, when you're watching football, that's what you want to see as well. You want to kind of see the next star, or you want to see the, you know, like when Barry came through, and that, in particular, that first full season he had when he was scoring all those goals. I mean, people got excited about that. We got promoted that season. We won that league against a good Galway side, which proved afterwards they got up, you know.
It was a lot of good teams. Like Waterford are very good that year as well. But as you said, when Barry came in, Aaron Bulger came in at the same time, both of them hit the ground running.
Mm.
You mentioned the young players. Now, it's not just like the kids are getting excited. The general fan base is. I was only in the shop a while ago with Pat, and there had been two lads in who had bought two men who bought Cork City jerseys, and they're getting O'Sullivan 22 on the back of the jersey because of Cahill. Like, they're exciting the overall fan base. Mm. Obviously not just Cahill, but Jaden, and not just the young players either, the players that are there now. Everyone's doing well, which is great. It's what we want. Aina said it last week and Barry said it this week, that when we do get going, Cork City is huge and the potential of this club is, it's ridiculous, and hopefully now we can kick on and we can reach the heights we all know we can reach.
Speaking of kicking on, we're away this weekend.
We are. Bray on Friday, back in the blue kit again. Men's and women's teams now, we're 100% record in that, so we'll try and keep that up on
That's
on
not
Friday.
A bad, that's not
no
bad.
Pressure. No pressure.
The lucky jersey, they'll be throwing them out for the home matches next.
Never say never.
But yeah, like, I mean, look, it's another away trip. Well, if it was sunny like last weekend, Bray would be a nice place by the seaside.
Unbelievable, yeah. Go to the beach, up there nice and early, go to the beach before the game.
But let's hope the undefeated record remains. That's what we kind of want. Well, keep obviously we want to win, like, because we're 8 points ahead of UCD.
Yeah,
let's
of course,
keep it going.
Tim and the players will say they're not thinking about it, and they're not. But as supporters, we want to go the season unbeaten.
We do.
Of course we do.
We do, definitely.
It'd be great.
What about the women? Where are they after this week?
They're actually at home again on Saturday. So it's we were away for a few weeks, but now this is a third home game in a row. We've got Cliftonville in the All-Ireland Cup. So it's the final group game. Group is still open there. You'd need a couple of results to go your way, but we played Cliftonville last year and they beat us up in Cliftonville. And yeah, we'll see how that goes on Saturday. It'll be live on LYTV as per, and tickets are also available for it. So after a brilliant win last weekend.
Yeah, get up and support them.
Exactly. We're well able and well capable to go beat that Cliftonville team and to do so in front of another big crowd. The crowd had dropped a bit on Saturday. There was a hell of a lot on in Cork and the weather was really good as well. But we'd like to get that crowd back up and hopefully go and beat Cliftonville and really show what we can do in the All-Ireland Cup and finish well in the group, finish strongly.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so I think, look, our interview with Barry went so long there, I think maybe we'll wrap up a bit because we probably lost people at this stage.
Oh yeah, they heard so much of Barry and we came back now, we probably ruined
like,
people's
I'm
opinions.
Not listening anymore. So yeah, look, I think we leave Aaron catch up on what's going on at the club and we'll have a bit more information on everything next week, I think.
Yeah, I'm going home to bed now and I'll figure out the rest tomorrow. But Spotify question, Barry mentioned a good one there. There was a question for Barry about which is his favourite goal. So maybe if we put that out there, what's your favourite Cork City goal?
Favourite goal of all time, maybe, yeah. There's a few that come to mind anyway.
Yeah, I could write a list. I don't think I could ever pick a favourite one. Colin Healy's bicycle is up there.
That was the
head,
first one that came to mind, actually, yeah. But there's probably, there is a few more.
Yeah, we'll leave that one with you anyway, and we can have a chat about that next week. We'll see what comes back in for us.
Yeah, we'll talk to you then.
See you next week.